From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, we continue this series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 4 and verse 2. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? An instructive writer has made a mournful list of the honors which the blinded people of Israel awarded to their long-expected king. They gave him a procession of honor, in which Roman legionaries, Jewish priests, men and women took a part, he himself bearing his cross. This is the triumph which the world awards to him who comes to overthrow man's direst foes. Derisive shouts are his only acclamations, and cruel taunts his only paeans of praise. They presented him with the wine of honor. Instead of a golden cup of generous wine, they offered him the criminal's stupefying death draught, which he refused because he would preserve an uninjured taste, wherewith to taste of death. And afterwards, when he cried, I thirst, they gave him vinegar mixed with gall, thrust to his mouth upon a sponge. O wretched, detestable, inhospitality to the king's son! He was provided with a guard of honor, who showed their esteem of him by gambling over his garments, which they had seized as their booty. Such was the bodyguard of the adored of heaven, a quaternion of brutal gamblers. A throne of honor was found for him upon the bloody tree. No easier place of rest would rebel men yield to their liege lord. The cross was, in fact, the full expression of the world's feeling towards him. There they seemed to say, Thou Son of God, this is the matter in which God himself should be treated could we reach him. The title of honor was nominally King of the Jews, but that the blinded nation distinctly repudiated and really called him King of Thieves, by preferring Barabbas, and by placing Jesus in the place of highest shame between two thieves. His glory was thus in all things turned into shame by the sons of men. But it yet shall gladden the eyes of saints and angels, world without end.
Thank you.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. On today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will continue his exposition of the book of Romans as he brings the first part of a message called The Chain of Grace. The text is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 10 and 11. These verses speak of the body being dead because of sin and the spirit giving life because of righteousness. In introducing the message, Dr. Cairns addresses the false notion that Christians suffer, become sick, and die because of some sin they have committed. In reality, these things are the natural consequence of having been born with a sin nature. As we'll see, the death of a believer is the last of three inseparable links in the chain of grace, justification, sanctification, and glorification. Now to introduce this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
We return this evening to Romans chapter 8. The 8th chapter of Romans, we're going to read the first 11 verses of the chapter together. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 to 11. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. We're going to be looking at verses 10 and 11. For reasons that I'm not going to try to get into from the pulpit, A, because they're technical, and B, because if I did, I would give you the impression that I knew a whole lot more than I really do, and I don't want to do that. But you'll notice how verse 10 starts with the word and verse 11 starts with the word but. For very good reasons, I'm going to transpose those. It's the same little Greek particle in each case, according to the demands of the syntax and the context. It can be translated either but or and. Our translators have recognized that. I simply think with most others that the order should be reversed. So we're going to read the text, but if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Just as in the case of verse 9, and we noticed this very carefully last time when we looked at that verse, just as in the case of verse 9, our text starts with a but. Now, verse 9 has been describing what Paul, writing to the Corinthians, calls reprobates. Know ye not that Christ dwelleth in you, except ye be reprobates? Here in verse 9 he says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. No matter what his religious profession, no matter what his theological creed, no matter what his ecclesiastical position, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. That's the statement. But, now he says in verse 10, but you're not of that class. That's the whole force of this sudden contrast. Those who have not the Spirit of Christ do not belong to Christ. But the idea is you are of a different class. Different kind of people. He says, if the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, too often we jump to the conclusion when we see the word if, that Paul must be casting a fair amount of doubt over the matter. There are various ways, even in English, that we use the word if, and it has a variety of meanings. In the Greek text, that meaning is usually very, very carefully and clearly indicated by how the word is used. And how it's used here is to set no doubt upon the matter at all. If, as we suppose, if as we accept, it's almost therefore carrying the force of sins. If the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, you are not and cannot be reprobates. If the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, you do belong to Jesus. That's the statement. If the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, you are His. And you have secured to you all the blessings that flow from being justified. Remember that that's what this chapter, indeed that's what this epistle, is all about. The epistle to the Romans is in many ways an extended theological treatment of the great doctrine of justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in the merits of Christ alone. And in the 8th chapter, Paul gives this entire chapter over to an exposition of one aspect of justification, which is, in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation if you are in Christ. That extends to the whole man. Now, immediately, that raises a question, a very far-reaching question, and a very serious question. If there is no condemnation to the people who are in Christ Jesus, if once you're justified, you're freed from all the condemnation consequent upon man's sin, if we have received eternal life, and if the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life, dwells in us, why then do Christians still suffer, get sick, and die? If there's no condemnation, and death was God's condemnation on sin, if there's no condemnation, we're free from all the guilt of sin and all the consequences of sin, why do justified people still suffer and sicken and die? It's a big question. And Paul answers that question very clearly in the text. Now we're going to look at that text again. I'm going to start with the if. And I want you to follow carefully as I give you it as Paul wrote it, for there's a little use of small particles here that are not reflected in the translation. So watch it carefully. If the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, here's the first thing you've got to watch. On the one hand, that's a very important insertion here. It's not my insertion, it's the force of what Paul wrote. If the Spirit of Christ dwell in you, on the one hand, the body is dead on account of sin, and on the other hand, the Spirit is life on account of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit, or on account of His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now that's a huge statement. You can render it down to a very simple essence. The Holy Spirit has already given life to His people, true life in Christ. And now we're told He's going to raise their bodies, which are still subject to death. He's going to raise them to immortality. As we look at this, And I heard a gasp this morning when I said this was the subject. Maybe that's why a lot of people haven't come. I heard a gasp of unbelief when I said the subject of this text is really justification, sanctification, and glorification. Three inseparable links in the chain of grace. The gasp was very well expressed because I have been known to take weeks and weeks and weeks on justification and weeks and weeks and weeks on sanctification. So if you add glorification, you're not going to be home for Thanksgiving. We're going to be here through Christmas. But I'm not going to deal with it that way. These are things that will come out as we deal with the text. That's the essence of the text. Paul is taking these three great truths and he's bringing them together as inseparable links in God's chain of grace. Now, when we deal with the text, there will be three great realities that we've got to focus on. I'll give you the outline so that you'll be able to follow me, and if I don't get to the end, which I will sometime, if I don't get to the end, you'll know at least where we're going. Here are the three great realities this text deals with. First, physical death. Second, spiritual life. And then third, eternal glorification. So we're going to look at those as the Lord helps, bit by bit. Physical death. Notice what he says. If the Spirit of Christ be in you, on the one hand, the body is dead because of or on account of sin. Now, some people looking at this text say this is all about sanctification. Even the great John Calvin took the text in that way. Most people who take this as regarding sanctification believe that it speaks of an advanced experience of sanctification. This is a favorite passage for people who like to think of themselves as believers in a second blessing or in a Keswick experience. And the idea here is that the body means the flesh. And dead means that it's mortified. It's put to death. It's reckoned dead. And the phrase or the statement, the body is dead because of sin, they say it means the body is dead in respect of sin or with regard to sin, or perhaps it's spiritually dead. In other words, what they are presenting here is that this is a statement of our sanctification where, having now talked about the flesh, the Apostle Paul is saying you've got to reckon the flesh dead. You've got to mortify the flesh. And as you mortify the flesh, the body becomes spiritually dead, or the body is dead with regard to sin. Now, I'm going to contradict that. Even John Calvin's way of believing it. I'm going to contradict that too. First of all, because it makes no sense. And I can't be any blunter than that. And second, because it is not at all consistent with what Paul writes here. There's not a man alive who can honestly say his body is dead with respect to sin. I'm talking about it being spiritually dead. I mean, that's just talking nonsense. You're talking about a body, but it's spiritually dead? It's a contradiction in terms. Or if, as Calvin does this, or you take this as some sort of a body of sin in the sense that it's a body of, it's speaking of a mass of corruption in our nature, then even more have you got to say that there's not a man on earth can look at the mass of corruption in human nature and say it's dead with regard to sin. So it's just not true to life. It's not true to experience. It certainly cannot refer to any advanced or special degree of sanctification. This is not a Keswick blessing. And I'm not hammering the Keswick people. There's some things about their doctrine that I don't like and I don't agree with. But over the early history, especially of the Keswick movement, and right through the late 1800s into many parts of the 20th century, There were many mighty men of God associated with the Keswick movement whose doctrine on sanctification was absolutely dead on right. Men like Bishop Hanley G. Mole of the Church of England did a great work. And certainly, I'm not here to knock the Keswick people. But I am here to say that this cannot refer to any special degree of sanctification for one very simple reason. All these verses are descriptive of all Christians. This is not a description of an elite among Christians. This is not a description of some superior degree of Christian experience. This is something that is true of every Christian, and if it's not true of us, then we're not Christians at all. That's what Paul is saying.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.